Tom, let's talk about some things that have been going on in real science right now, and that has to do with the expanding the solar system from the 9 planets to at least 12 and probably many, many more. Are you in agreement? I guess they vote on it earlier toward the end of this week, but are you in agreement with their definition?
Well, yes and no. It's really hard to define a planet, and in fact, we really don't have the knowledge that it takes to make a definition that doesn't have some completely arbitrary elements in it. It used to be that we had planets that were big and moons that were much smaller and asteroids and comets. We could put everything into its own category. But now we've discovered bodies that fill that gap in between, and there's no particular size that you can point to that allows you to cut off and say, well, this anything bigger than this is a planet and anything smaller is a moon. So they've been struggling, and we kind of had a crisis over the last couple of years. The issue of whether or not Pluto should remain a planet because it's so small, or whether it should be demoted, and then this, the discovery of something even bigger than Pluto further out. And those two factors have made the astronomers have to face up to the issue, just what is the definition of a planet? They've settled on one now in as a result of a committee arguing this out for many months. It's a very contentious issue, and there were probably more opinions than there were people in the meetings. But they've settled on something that's a compromise. It's sure not to please a lot of people, but given all the things that could have been much worse, I'm happy with this as a good compromise solution for the definition of a planet.
Now, you were involved in the discovery of one of Pluto's moons, weren't you?
That's true. Yes.
Which may be a new planet.
I'm of course not the discoverer. That honor goes to Jim Christie at the U.S. Naval Observatory. But I was working in an office just one floor above him at the time. He was working there and looking at these interesting images. And Bob Harrington and I were two dynamical astronomers at the observatory who were called on to evaluate the Christie's discovery and decide whether or not it was really a moon of Pluto and all the implications. That makes quite an interesting story in its own right.
You know, with all these possible objects, though, out there, Tom, there's also that possibility that some object out there, not planetary size, may collide with a planet, and that concerns me. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things the astronomers who are in Prague have been kicking around for so long now, and that is to really push and develop an effort. I thought we had one, but apparently it's not good enough to try to identify these objects out there.
That's true. At the moment, there are two separate pushes. One is to try and find all the objects that can possibly cross the Earth's orbit and therefore ever at any time in the future hit the Earth. So those are of concern for obvious reasons for us. And then the other effort is to look for more of these objects in a new asteroid belt in the outer solar system, out even beyond Pluto, where we're finding a rich new area of objects, big and small, by the thousands.
Well, they found one now, an asteroid, a real large one, which they also want to categorize as a planet. Ceres, is it? Is that how you pronounce it?
Ceres, usually.
Ceres. Mm-hmm. I mean, and again, with this one, it's not a round shaped like we would expect a planet to. It's like a big rock.
Well, most of the asteroids are irregular in shape. Ceres is a halfway decent approximation of round because it is so big. It's the biggest of the asteroids or minor planets between Mars and Jupiter in the big gap where there ought to have been another planet, but instead there are tens of thousands of asteroids running around the sun. And Ceres is the biggest of them, so much so that it has more mass than all the others put together, which is why it is now, according to this proposal, it isn't official yet, but usually the recommendations of the committees are adopted. according to this proposal, Ceres is to become one of the new planets of the solar system.
And now there's talk that eventually, not right now, but eventually, our own moon could become another planet, based on their definition.
Well, that was a little wrinkle I pointed out. The definition calls for anything that is orbiting the sun as opposed to another planet will be a planet. And then they added the caveat that they were defining whether it was orbiting the sun or the planet by where the center of mass was. So for our moon, the center of mass of the Earth and moon falls inside the Earth. It's about 1,000 miles below Earth's surface. So that makes our moon a moon of Earth. And with Pluto's moon, Charon, the center of mass is outside of Pluto. So instead of Charon being a moon of Pluto, it's now going to be part of a double planet. And there's a lot of controversy about that. And I was the one that pointed out, well, our moon is evolving away from the Earth by tidal friction. It has been for billions of years.
Ever so slowly.
Ever so slowly, just an inch or so a year. But in a few billion years in the future, it'll be far enough away that the center of mass will be outside Earth. And apparently, according to the present definition, that will graduate the moon into being a part of a double planet.
Technically, how far can the moon travel away from the Earth? I mean, if it's an inch a year, 10 billion years from now, it could be way, way out there, couldn't it?
Well, there is a limit because it's getting the energy to get further away through tidal friction, and that's coming from the Earth's rotational spin.
Okay.
So eventually...
It'll stop?
The Earth will stop rotating almost completely and wind up with the same side always facing the moon, just as right now, the same side of the moon always faces the Earth. And they'll wind up locked in that position, the moon orbiting the Earth at the same rate that both bodies rotate so that they always face each other. And then there'll be no further evolution of either orbit.
Okay, now see, the moon is about 239,000 miles away from the Earth. Has anybody calculated? We can do it. I've just not done the mathematics yet. Has anybody calculated in a billion years how far the moon will be from Earth?
Yes, it's about 400 to 450,000 miles, if memory serves. So not quite double the present distance. But then it stops.
So it would, though, look half as big, basically, as it is now.
That's right. And that will mean that we won't get any more total eclipses of the sun because the moon will be too small to cover the sun.
It really is strange to even think about it. But you know what, Tom? We're not going to be around to worry about it, are we?
That's true. That's a problem for the very distant future.